Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is willing to be stricken, smitten, and afflicted for the salvation of your soul. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you find out that someone who you thought was a trusted friend has been saying some pretty nasty things about you behind your back. How do you respond? Someone posts a picture of you on Facebook that you find extremely embarrassing. How do you respond? Someone sabotages you at work and gets you in trouble with the boss. How do you respond? Someone says something or does something to hurt one of your children or your grandchildren. How do you respond? One of your children or your grandchildren does something that hurts you. How do you respond? We have all been in situations in our lives when we have had to choose how we are going to respond to something that someone has done against us or against someone we love. How we choose to respond is very often dependent on a variety of factors. Some of those factors might include the seriousness of the offense, as well as our personal relationship with the offender. The more serious the offense and the more personal the hurt, the harsher our response might be. If you and I were to take the most serious and the most personal thing that anyone has ever done against us and multiply it millions of times over, then we might. We just might begin to understand just how serious and just how personal the Lord our God considers each and every one of the sins that we commit against Him. Well, we can look back over the course of our life and see how we have responded to these situations in the past. Well, we can look deep down in our heart and see how we might respond if only we had the power and the opportunity to do so. Our sermon text for today focuses our attention on a truth for which we mortal sinful human beings are to be eternally grateful. That truth centers on God's response to our rebellion. As we look at these three very powerful verses of Scripture today, we want to note two things. First of all, let's see how each of these verses reveals to us the mystery of God's response. And then, let's see how each of these verses reveals to us the blessings of God's response. Isaiah chapter 53 is one of those well-known chapters of the Bible. This portion of Scripture contains passages that are near and dear to our soul. Passages such as, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Even though the prophet Isaiah lived some 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God the Holy Spirit enabled him to see both Good Friday and Easter Sunday in miraculous detail. This entire chapter, my friends, including our text for today, is speaking to us about the Lord's suffering servant, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This entire chapter, including our text for today, is speaking to us about God's response to mankind's rebellion against him. When Adam and Eve first rebelled against their loving Creator, thereby bringing sin upon themselves and upon the entire human race, from our perspective, God could have responded in a variety of ways. God could have responded by simply turning his back on the human race and letting everyone suffer eternally in the fires of hell. God could have responded by simply destroying Adam and Eve and starting all over again. God could have responded by requiring us sinners to earn our own redemption, to earn His grace, to earn His forgiveness, by trying to do as many good works as we possibly can before we die. Thankfully, God's response to our rebellion does not follow anything that makes logical sense to our limited minds. Look at the opening verse of our text. The mystery of God's response to our rebellion is found in the words, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. The Lord makes his life a guilt offering." God's love for you, my friends, God's love for all of mankind is so powerful and so deep that he was determined, absolutely determined, to do everything that was necessary for your eternal salvation, even though that meant crushing his own son with the burden of our sins, even though that meant causing his own son to suffer in our place, even though that would require him to offer his own son's life as a guilt offering to pay the debt of sin that we owed to him. That's the awe-inspiring mystery of God's response to our rebellion. What is the blessing that you and I now enjoy because of the fact that God's response to our rebellion included the fact that he was willing to sacrifice his own son in our place? Look at what Isaiah says. "And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days." The blessing that you and I now enjoy, the blessing that is freely given to everyone who believes and trusts in what the Lord God Almighty has done for them, is that we are his offspring. Through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, working through God's holy word and God's holy sacraments, we are the dearly beloved adopted children of the Heavenly Father, with all of the rights and all of the privileges and all of the blessings that that glorious status brings with it. This includes the right to live in our Heavenly Father's home forever. This includes the privilege of inheriting our Heavenly Father's kingdom. That is a blessing, my friends, that is absolutely unparalleled. Now let's look at the next verse of our text. The mystery of God's response to our rebellion is found in the words, "After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." We dare not. We dare not overlook or underestimate the fact that the physical suffering that Jesus endured on the cross of Calvary's Hill was just the tip of the iceberg. Far more painful than having nails driven through his hands and his feet, far more agonizing than it was to have to fight for each and every breath that he took, was the horrible, hellish suffering of his soul. The innocent Son of God was punished because of our sins. The beloved Son of God was forsaken by the Heavenly Father because of our selfishness. The perfect Son of God endured the full fury of God's justice in the deepest recesses of the fires of hell because of our unfaithfulness. That, my friends, that is the unfathomable mystery of God's response to our rebellion. What is the blessing that you and I now enjoy because of the fact that God's response to our rebellion was to have his own son endure the punishment that you and I deserve? Look at what Isaiah says. "By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." The blessing that you and I now enjoy, the blessing that is freely offered to everyone who believes and trusts in what the Lord God Almighty has done for them, is that we are justified. The judge of all mankind has declared us not guilty. We no longer need to fear his condemnation. We no longer need to fear being punished for our own sins. Why? Because Jesus perfectly fulfilled the words of the prophet, he will bear their iniquities. All of our iniquities, all of our transgressions, all of our sins, all of our rebellious ways was placed upon Jesus, who carried them to the cross, where he bore the punishment that you and I deserve. That's a blessing, my friends, a blessing that is absolutely astounding. Now let's look at the closing verse of our text. The mystery of God's response to our rebellion is found in the words, he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. In the opening verse of our text, the prophet Isaiah revealed to us that it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Those words remind us that the Heavenly Father's love for us led him to send his own Son into this world to serve as our Savior. Here in the closing verse of our text, the prophet Isaiah reminds us that the Son of God's love for us is so powerful and so deep that he was willing to come into this world as our true flesh and blood brother and fulfill his Father's plan of salvation for you and for me. Yes, my friends, Jesus was willing to pour out his life unto death in order to pay for our rebellious ways. Jesus was willing to be numbered with the transgressors so that his perfect life and his innocent suffering and death could be credited to our account. That's the majesty of the mystery of God's response to our rebellion. What is the blessing that you and I now enjoy because of the fact that God's response to our rebellion was that the Son of God himself was willing to become one of us and pour out his life for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill. Look at what Isaiah says. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The blessing that you and I now enjoy. The blessing that is freely offered to everyone who believes and trusts in what the Lord God has done for them is that as our great high priest, Jesus now intercedes for us. Every time that wretched accuser called Satan charges us with rebellion against God because of the sins that we have committed against him, our brother Jesus speaks to the Father in our defense. No matter how often Satan brings a charge against us, our brother Jesus holds out his hands and says, Father, I have already paid for that sin. No matter what the sin might possibly be, our brother Jesus holds out his hands and says, Father, I have already paid the debt of that sin too. That's a blessing, my friends, a blessing that is absolutely priceless. When we look at the mystery of God's response to our rebellion and see the many wonderful blessings that we enjoy because of his response, our hearts are filled with praise and with thankfulness. But how? How does this portion of Scripture apply to the way that we openly live our day-to-day lives? In other words, what will this portion of Scripture lead us to do after we have left God's house this morning? Look at it this way. Hardly a single day or week goes by when someone does not sin against us or against someone we love. How we choose to respond in that situation is indeed critical. As Jesus' brothers and sisters. We not only want to strive to follow the example that our Savior himself has set for us, but we also want to obey the commands that our brother Jesus gives to us right here on the pages of his holy word. In the Lord's Prayer, our Savior taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In the parable of the unmerciful servant, our Savior warns us, "This is how my Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." And through his servant, the Apostle Paul, our Savior God says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Our old sinful nature would love nothing better than to have us nurse a grudge against someone who has sinned against us or someone we love. Our old sinful nature is an absolute genius when it comes up to a variety of different ways that we might be able to get back at the person that sins against us. Whenever that happens, my friends, whenever that happens, we would do well to lift up our eyes to the cross and remember God's response to our rebellion. If we choose not to forgive someone who has sinned against us, we are not only disrespecting the cross of God's Son, but we risk forfeiting God's forgiveness for the sins that we have committed against him. Somebody does something or says something that hurts you or someone you love. How are you going to respond? Well, we can look back over the course of our life and see how we have responded in the past. Well, we can look deep into our heart and see how we might respond if only we had the power and the opportunity to do so. As mortal, sinful human beings, we are to be eternally grateful for portions of Scripture such as our text for today, portions of Scripture that so clearly and so powerfully proclaim to us God's response to our rebellion. My prayer then this morning, my friends, is that we will not only marvel at the mystery of God's response, but that we will also treasure the many wonderful blessings that we enjoy because of God's response to our rebellion. To God be the glory. Amen.